Hey friends, this is the Max Living Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Nick Wilson. I sit down with my co-host, Dr. Tracy Gross, and we talk about toxicity, specifically from your household cleaners and your cosmetics. We go through what to avoid and also what to replace that with. I hope you enjoy this episode with me and Dr. Tracy Gross. All right, Dr. Tracy. So we are talking about toxicity and mainly from household cleaners and that which we're exposed to on a regular basis with cosmetics. This is a big topic, especially with COVID. You know, Lysol has increased its sales by 50% as compared to spring 2019. The amount of quats, which we'll talk about this, these quaternary ammonium byproducts that are being used in these disinfectants, that their sales have nearly doubled. They're finding birth defects, fertility issues with these products, endocrine disruption, so how it influences your hormones. And so this is a really big deal right now in the world that we're living in, because we are living in a toxic world.
Yes, and so many of the things that we use to disinfect our environment, we do it because we think it's good for us. We try to get rid of all of the germs and bacteria, but really it's doing so much more harm than it is good, and it's making us sicker in the long run.
And so I think it's important. I really think this is an important point of discussion, because I really feel like most people, if you ask them, they'd say, yeah, I'd like to minimize toxicity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then they go to the grocery store and they're wiping down their, you know, the grocery cart with whatever they are given there. You know, they think that they're doing a good thing by, you know, using the aerosol, the disinfectants. And I would imagine that most people, if you pointed out how many toxins they're exposed to on a daily basis, they'd likely be shocked.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Because toxins are all around us. It's not just in our cleaning products, but also in our food, in our water, in the materials that we use, the plastic materials that we use on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So we really have to take a step back and evaluate, are our lifestyle habits creating more sickness for us?
I read that the average person, listen to this, could be exposed to 2,100,000 toxins daily. Mm-hmm. That's not over the course of a year. That is daily.
Yeah.
And so these are coming from, you know, 70,000 commercial products used, 3,000 different chemicals are used in our food supply. You mentioned food processing. There's 10,000 plus chemicals used in food processing, preserving, storage. The EPA estimates that our homes are now 5 to 100 times more toxic than our outdoor air.
Mm-hmm. And in our homes, that means that we are exposing our family, our children. All of these things are in our daily life. It's things that where we spend the most time in our home, 100 times more toxic than outside.
Man, that kills me, because do you know, it says 5 to 100 because 100 is new home build. It's a new home build is very toxic, right? That's why they tell you to off gas your home. As you know, I recently built a new home, and that was on my mind the entire time. Now, we did all the green practices and we did our best to try to build the home in a way that would not be toxic, but still, you walk into a new home, you smell it, it's in the carpet glues, it's within the paints that are used, the VOCs, and so there's just so much. And when we do testing on people, you'd be surprised how many people have these chemicals, these hormone disrupting chemicals, these likely cancer causing chemicals, not only in their bloodstream, coming out in the urine, sometimes even the hair, depending on which test we're using. And it's incredible that when you actually look back at where these products are found, they are only used in production commercially. Hmm. And so it is our lifestyle that we're living of exposure to these toxins that are only man-made, and our bodies just does not know what to do with them.
Yeah.
Whether you believe in evolution or you believe in creation, it doesn't matter. Our bodies have not adapted in a way that has allowed us to clear this from our liver, our gallbladder, our kidneys. And the disruptive effects of that, yes, hormonally and hormone-based cancers, but also directly with inflammation, how our body responds to that, how our body tries to get rid of this. So many times it'll create fat cells or put these fats in a fat cell because they're fat soluble and try to wall them off from the rest of the cells so that doesn't create this cascading or domino effect throughout the rest of the body. But these products are found everywhere. So let's talk a little bit about where these products are found, and then we'll talk through the toxic damage that they cause.
Yeah, so as we earlier stated, our food, the way our food is processed, the chemicals that are sprayed on our food, even produce. That's why we talk about getting organic produce. So it's not as sprayed. Our water, a lot of us use water right from the tap. And there are so many toxic chemicals in the water processing. And then we drink that water. We brush our teeth with that water. We take showers or baths with that water. And then our skin absorbs it. Mm-hmm. So we've also talked about our environment, the environment that we create in our home, but then specifically personal care products, cosmetics, and things like toothpaste, even mouthwash, the things that we use multiple times on a daily basis are causing extreme levels of toxicity. And our bodies then take those toxins, and where do they get stored? They get stored in our fat cells. Mm-hmm. So they're causing damage not just to our health in terms of getting stored in fat cells, but they also speak directly to our DNA. And when it changes our DNA, that changes enzymes, that changes proteins, and that changes the way our bodies are able to do their metabolic processes. And in terms of changing DNA, that adds so much more significance to the health of a family, because mm-hmm. if your DNA is being disrupted, if your DNA is being changed and you are having children, you are passing on that damaged DNA to future generations. Mm-hmm. Now, we have to talk about genes though, because I hear this multiple times a week from so many people. When it comes to sickness and disease, we're taught that it's all about our genes. Mm-hmm. And that's simply not true. Now, we can pass on damaged genes to our children, but so many things that we do to foster a healthy environment or an unhealthy environment have the ability to switch on and off our genes. So even if you are damaging your genes and passing them on to your future generations, there's still something that you can do about that.
That's right. This is one of the confusing things for a lot of people, because when they walk into their medical provider's office, and sometimes mm-hmm. even their natural health care provider's office, there's a lot of questions about family history. Mm-hmm. And it's as if you're a slave to your genes, that no matter what you do in your life, that it doesn't matter if you have that specific gene or set of genes. And the real, I think, unfortunate thing about that is that a person who's not really, you know, maybe they just don't know about what you just said. 95% of all cancers are attributed to how we live, diet, and our exposure to toxicity. If they don't know that, and they hear mom or dad has cancer, or, you know, whoever, brother, sister, and then there's just a string of those people, mm-hmm. like maybe mom and dad, and then maybe a sister or a brother. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden that it has to get ingrained in your mind. And now mm-hmm. all of a sudden you might not be exposed to the truth. And then all of a sudden, what do you think? No matter how I live, I'm already predestined. And with, you know, the power of the mind, knowing that, you know, what you think about, you oftentimes bring about, whether that's success in your life or whether that is even your health or sickness and disease. I wonder how much of a role that plays in that person's expression of health or sickness in their life, and how hard it is for that person to retrain their brain once they learn this information.
Right, right. But then also thinking of another common denominator, if we're attributing sickness and disease to mother, father, brother, sister, they all grew up in the same environment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So once again, getting back to the 90 to 95% of cancers from lifestyle, from environmental causes.
Well, I think about the Denmark study, the twin study in Denmark. They keep very detailed records of twins in Denmark. And so when you have twins who are separated at birth, let's say for the foster care system as an example, what's interesting is that if that foster parent, so biologically different, genetically different, if that foster parent gets diagnosed with cancer, that foster child is now 500 times more likely to develop the exact same cancer. Hmm. That's independent of genes. It's entirely based off how that person was lived. So you think about Okay, so if it's genes, then that twin, if you go back and research biologically, that twin should develop the same cancer. That's not the case. It's all based off of that foster parent and how that person lived and how they raised that child. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, yeah, that's super interesting. Even talking about environment and cleaning up and genetics, we can kind of skirt that issue even if we are just taking measures on the front end, if we are cleaning up our environment, if we are making sure that we are minimizing toxins and we are eating nutritious foods and exercising and taking care of our bodies, then we don't have to wait for a diagnosis to try to figure out where it came from. And I think that's the most empowering part, is that you don't have to live as a victim to your genes. You can choose to do something about it.
So here's the critical point, I think. We're going to talk a lot about exit conventional and what that means. Like, let's exit this conventional model of thinking, because it's destructive. It's stressful. Mm-hmm. If we're a slave to our genes and there's nothing that we can do in our life that's going to change the outcome, then why not just go eat the donut? why choose an apple if it doesn't matter? You know, why choose the kale and not the whatever food if it doesn't matter? You know, why even work out if it's not going to make a difference? Why not just gain 100 pounds and just live life and just whatever? Because we're going to be a slave to our genes anyway. Mm-hmm. So you really think about, like, let's take that to an extreme. If genes are the only predictive factor of whether you are healthy or if you're sick, then it really makes no difference what we're going to talk about today, which is avoiding toxins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have no responsibility for your health.
Zero.
It's all your genes.
So you're going to talk about some of the products. We're going to get into that. But I want to talk about exiting conventional and this idea of conventional way of thinking when it comes to your genes. Exiting this conventional model of having to disinfect everything in our environment and how that actually might create a harmful outcome. How that actually can create superbugs, how that actually can be very toxic for us in our environment. When we say environment, by the way, I want to clear this up to people. When we say environment, we're not talking about just like pollution and smog and external environment. We're talking about the internal environment that we create within ourselves, within our bodies. It's very different.
Yes.
We have an internal ecosystem that is constantly running and governing and being influenced by our external environment, but that internal ecosystem is constantly adapting to the external. Mm-hmm. So our internal environment is one that either harbors sickness or disease.
Mm-hmm. And the health of your internal environment is 100% determined by your ability to adapt to your external environment.
That sounds like a principle.
It's the principle of health.
That's right.
It's the definition of health, is your ability to adapt.
See, we chiropractors, we say things like, that's a chiropractic principle. The reality is that That's like a God principle. That is like laws of nature that we just happen to recognize and then try to steal. Can we say steal? I don't know. But we try to use that as a chiropractic principle. That is a universal law that the body is always adapting to its environment. We have this inborn or innate intelligence within our bodies that are constantly governing and controlling and adapting to what we do to it.
Mm-hmm. So the goal behind minimizing toxins in our life, swapping out products, is to make our environment, our external environment, something that our internal environment can more easily adapt to.
I like that. We can close with that. Just joking. We got to keep going.
Yes. So we're going to get into some practical steps here. We're starting with our cleaners and cosmetics. I think that's the easiest place to start because you are 100% in control of the products that you use.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's some really bad ones out there. And how would one go about analyzing their products in their home?
Yes. I am not going to tell you to memorize the name of every harmful chemical. That is too much. That is unrealistic. So a great resource is EWG.org. That stands for the Environmental Working Group. And they have done a great job of cataloging several different conventional cleaners, as well as more user-friendly, health-friendly cleaners. And they rate them and break down the ingredients and tell you exactly why it's harmful, why you shouldn't be using it, or why it's good, and it's a good thing to swap out and use in your daily routine. So a couple of conventional cleaners that we use on a daily basis. We have sanitizing wipes.
we're trying not to name brands just so no one gets defamation lawsuits.
We're not going to put any brands on blast here. But the sanitizing wipes in general
kind of look like baby wipes. Our producer called them baby wipes when he was talking about them. And he doesn't have kids yet. It's very clear.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, also look at your baby wipes, though.
True. And also do not disinfect your baby with these baby wipe looking things that you would clean your shopping cart with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So some chemicals that are found in sanitizing wipes are alcohol, dimethyl benzyl, ammonium chloride. These chemicals have concern for systemic effects on organ systems, respiratory effects. Fragrance is a big ingredient that is found in so many different products, not just personal care products, but cleaners, even perfumes, which are fragrances. If you see fragrance listed as an ingredient on any product, then that is an immediate red flag, because fragrance is kind of a blanket term for a chemical cocktail. They just don't list out the individual chemicals. So anything that says fragrance in it, just avoid.
That's ranked pretty high on EWG. So EWG will rank these chemicals and these products, and fragrances, they oftentimes are big time irritants, not only to the endocrine system, but the nervous system.
Mm-hmm. And endocrine system meaning hormone balance.
Hormones.
Mm-hmm. So if you are concerned at all with hormone imbalance, if you're not concerned at all with hormone imbalance, you should be. But that absolutely causes an effect in your endocrine system.
So there's this lady, Teresa Hrubeck. I probably didn't say her name right, but she's a biologist at Virginia Tech. And she's studying mice and medicines. And she kind of stumbled on this idea that there are harmful effects of these cleaners. And again, these are what I referenced earlier about the quats. I want to explain this because this has a direct correlation to what you just talked about. And quats is quaternary ammonium compounds. And there's been studies and references to the harmful effects and the considerations on the true environment, but also human health. They found with the exposure to these quats that it's causing fertility issues. We talked about endocrine disruption many times now, but also asthma. And also it's spurring antibiotic resistant bacteria. So think superbugs. But so listen to this. She's a biologist. She's studying medicine. She's studying these mice. These mice come in these boxes that get shipped over. And she noticed that a certain subset of the mice were having difficulty. They were developing certain problems, and they weren't exposed to any of the medications. These were actually the control group. And after ruling out the possibility that she had switched the groups, she found out that when the lab had recently introduced these disinfectants to clean her lab, they are also cleaning the boxes of these mice with these disinfectants. And once the box of mice was opened, it was wiped down with the disinfectant. The mice were being unintentionally dosed with large amounts of these quats. So think about it. These are the ammonium-based products that were used to disinfect. And she, what she found is that they're having birth defects, decreased fertility. She found that these mice were developing certain like bumps and lumps.
Mm.
And it was not the medicine, it was the cleaning products that the lab had recently introduced that was causing it.
If that is not motivation right there to change your cleaning products, I don't know what is.
Well, now just think about this. We're touching this stuff. And, you know, if you actually look at what it says on how to utilize this the right way, because it'll say, you know, it kills cold and, you know, I'm looking at the side, kills cold and flu viruses. You know, it kills antibiotic resistant bacteria. Well, might it be also creating antibiotic resistant bacteria and viruses? The bacteria adapts. And you think about what it says, how to utilize this. It says clean your surfaces. maybe with it, but then go back and then clean your surfaces with water, because you don't really want this on your skin or being exposed to on a regular basis. But I wonder how many people wipe down their cart, going back to the grocery store, because you see it so constantly, and then go back and then wipe it down with just clean water.
Oh yeah, no one does that.
It around for the next 45 minutes. You know, you wipe your counters down, and what do? You lean on the counter, you're touching your counter, and you're not getting rubber gloves to do this most of the time. Mm-hmm. And that's even not even considering the aerosols that are then released and how that gets into your environment, you know, into the internal environment and the home. And this is why our house, our home, is 5 to 100 times more toxic than our outdoor air.
Right. Other things that we use in our home, laundry. We clean our clothes, but the detergents that we're using, the fabric softeners. I have an example of fabric softener here, and without naming the brand. Another issue with fabric softeners is fragrances. So once again, getting back to that chemical cocktail, it causes respiratory issues, developmental, and once again, endocrine and reproductive problems.
Mm-hmm.
So simply removing fabric softeners from use will cut out a whole bunch of toxic exposure to your clothes. Your detergent and what you wash your clothes in is so important because you wear your clothes all day long. So it's literally touching your skin the whole entire day.
Mm. Yeah. And there's alternatives, and we're going to get into maybe some of the alternatives, because here's what people immediately go to. I found, at least when we do testing, we find some of these, you know, like formaldehyde based compounds in, or ammonia based compounds, or clearly this person has been exposed to PERCs, which is, perchloral ethylene products. Mm-hmm. And you can just see some of these plastics or microplastics that this person's been exposed to. This person, when we have this conversation, usually shocked at first, but then on the backside, when we start explaining, hey, here's how to get this out of your system, here's how to detox, here's how to change over your products, there's usually this conversation about, am I going to stink? Am I going to smell bad? Does this mean I'm going to, you know, look or smell like a hippie, basically, is what they're saying without saying it. And the reality is that once you get rid of toxicity in your life, when you then get re-exposed to it, oftentimes there's like a shock to your system. Maybe it's headaches. Maybe it's just like, wow, I am just very, I don't know, like your body just reacts negatively to it, to toxicity. But when you don't react to it, that's actually a, in my mind and what I've found in, you know, the natural health world, it's a red flag. If your body's not reacting, you're not getting any symptoms by being around fragrances or those plugins to the wall, you know, it's very toxic, or you walk into a hotel room and they spray it in the air. If you don't have a negative reaction to that and your body does not tell you, well, that's a red flag that you're too used to toxicity in your life. Mm-hmm. It's likely that you have a bioaccumulation effect that you've built up toxicity in your life.
Right. So you talked about testing and detoxing heavy metals. A lot of people don't realize that a lot of toxicity in the body is due to heavy metal exposure. And we get them from several different places. But things like aluminum, lead, beryllium, a report called Heavy Metal Hazard. It tested the levels of heavy metals in makeup, so cosmetics. And for the ladies, this is something that we use every single day. This study tested 49 different face makeups and found that 96% of them had lead in them. Lead in this makeup that you're putting on your face every single day, and it's getting absorbed into your skin. And lead is a problem because it damages red blood cells. It decreases calcium absorption. So if you are concerned about osteoporosis or bone loss, bone density loss, then look to your makeup. It also causes nerve damage and brain damage and kidney damage. That's in 96% of the cosmetics that they studied. Another big one is thallium was in 61% of these makeups, and thallium is found in aerosols. It's dangerous because it's odorless. So you were talking about smelling different chemicals and having a reaction to that. This one, you can't smell. So you would have no idea that it's in there unless it was tested. And thallium is a chemical that in the past, in history, has been used by murderers because it is a poison that's very difficult to detect.
Did you say murderers?
Murderers, yeah. It's been used to kill people.
This is in your makeup, huh?
And this is in your makeup that you're putting on every single day. So
it's like a new definition of the silent killer, huh?
Right. And you're doing it to yourself. And this is a reason why I am so particular and super passionate about the products that I use, because you could be making yourself sick and then accumulating that over a lifetime. No wonder so many women have endocrine-based cancers and diseases, and bone density loss. It's because a lot of the time from the products that we're using, and we start using these things when we're 12, 13, 14 years old, and we use them for the rest of our lives. So
these are eyeliners, eyeshadow. I don't wear any of this stuff, clearly, but I'm just thinking out loud of like lipsticks. Yeah. This is what we're talking about right now. And men, you're not.
Concealer, which is something that you put on directly on your skin, foundation, it goes all over your face. So, yeah.
And men are not exempt from this.
Men are not exempt either because it's personal care products in general too. Mm-hmm. Deodorants, we talked about aluminum. We talked about.
Especially antiperspirant.
Yes. Yes. Antiperspirant.
Men are the worst offenders with antiperspirant because, you know, they'll either spray it underneath their arm or they just get used to that one red stick that they've used for their entire life. And so they just keep doing it without even thinking. In fact, we had our team. You and I had our team bring in and look in their household and find anything that was toxic to bring in and to talk about. And it wasn't hard for, you know, most people. And they are living max living. So they have been, you know, exposed to this way of living and thinking. And sure enough, everyone was able to find at least something that was rated pretty high on the EWG scale of toxicity.
Right. And even if you are living a max living lifestyle, even if you are living healthier than what you would consider to be the average person, it's still really important to look at your ingredients of your products because you can go to whatever big box health store and assume that everything that you're purchasing there is clean and it's healthy, but you can't make assumptions because the individual products, they're different product to product. So you can't put all of your faith in one specific store. You can't say that everything at the natural health store is going to be healthier for me. Once again, take responsibility for your own health and do your research.
And you can't necessarily put your faith into one brand over time because that brand can get bought out. That's why you don't hear us. Now, we will talk about brands here soon. And we'll talk about exiting conventional and what that means even more so when it comes to your cosmetics. But it's tough because you name a brand and then sure enough, 2 years later, they get bought out by this bigger brand that cuts corners in the way they're able to increase profits and better their margins is they cut corners and they're able to use different materials that are cheaper, but more toxic.
Yeah. So for right now, the good swap products that we're going to talk about are good. But once again, keep your eyes on it.
I think one thing right now is that if you're, you know, listening to this, you know, podcast or whatever, maybe it's, maybe you're watching this, but go to EWG.org and look up your individual products. This is a great just exercise for all of us to do. What is that thing that you're doing on a daily or regular basis that, you need to look up, look that up, swap it out. Don't wait. Don't finish the container. you know, fill it up. In our workshops, oftentimes we'll give patients a trash bag, and say, go home and, you know, put it all into the trash bag, get it out of your house, replace it with something better. Don't give it away. Don't make somebody else more toxic. Throw it away. Get rid of this. Now, not everyone's going to do that, but for some people, that's the exact right move for them.
Mm-hmm. All at the same time. A lot of the time, if you wait and you do kind of like the slow changeover, you lose motivation. The law of diminishing intent, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Lodi monster. Don't let the Lodi monster get you.
So with personal care products, a general rule of thumb that I use for myself is if you can eat it, then it's safe. So I look at my products and I make sure that if it's something that I feel like I can ingest and put in my body that way, then it's okay for my skin to absorb it too, because it's going to get in my body regardless.
Tracy's there chewing on her lipstick. How's that taste?
I mean, it probably doesn't taste great, but it's true that what you put on your skin, it gets in your body. So specifically for shampoos and conditioners, make sure that it is free of sulfates. There are no parabens, no fragrances. Once again, for toothpastes, you want to make sure that there is no SLS in it, which stands for sodium lauryl sulfate. And that is a chemical that is a foaming agent. Mm-hmm. So really any product that has the ability to foam, you have to question that because it probably has SLS in it. Now, when I first started switching over my products, I really missed the foam because you tell yourself in your brain that if it's foaming, if it's lathering up, that means it's working. but that's just something that you have to get over. Like if it doesn't create foam, it's still working.
And there are certain natural products that still will eventually create the foam, mm-hmm. you know, if you use it long enough and rub it in. But it's definitely, I see that foaming now, I immediately think SLS or DEA. It's another one that's in there. And especially if it foams like immediately or it comes out in a foam, mm-hmm. yikes.
Yeah.
Usually not something that you want to put on your body.
Yes. Yes. So toothpaste, no SLS. Also make sure that it is fluoride free. Soaps, the same thing, no SLS, no dyes or fragrances. For lotion, I use coconut oil. So kind of getting back to the idea of if I can eat it, I'll put it on my body. Coconut oil is extremely moisturizing and it's super inexpensive. You can just get it from the grocery store.
Anti-aging, antifungal, antibacteria, mm-hmm. lots of good properties of coconut oil.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as specific cosmetics, look for clean ingredients. EWG is going to be your best friend in looking that up. It'll give it a rating. So even if you're not able to find beauty products that suit your tastes and are totally clean, you can make sure that they are at least scoring like an A or a B on the scale that EWG gives you. Because I know that beauty products are very personalized to individual preferences. The cosmetics that I use all come from Beauty Counter. I trust this company because they have tested their products. They are very committed to not only the health of their clients, but also longevity and future generations as well. So Beauty Counter is a great company to get cosmetics from, as well as skincare.
And any of these companies, they might have one or two or five products that you might find that are higher up on the EWG scale. I know some women like Tarte, and in some of their products are higher up and some of them are not, mm-hmm. you know, so it just, it really depends on what you're actually using. You have to look up the specific thing that you're using, not just the brand itself.
Yeah. It's all, I hate to use the word balance, but you want to get as close as you can to clean products as possible. Obviously the cleanest thing is not going to be using cosmetics at all, mm-hmm. which is, you can absolutely do that. There is no rule saying that you have to. But if you do want to use cosmetics, make sure they're clean.
What's your philosophy on that? The no cosmetics versus some cosmetics. What's your personal philosophy?
Oh, I think it's whatever you want to do.
No, your personal philosophy. Like, what do you do?
Like, I wear cosmetics.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I wear mascara and concealer.
All right.
Mm-hmm. But I don't do like foundation or anything just because I don't want to put that on like large amounts of my skin.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
I mean, since we're talking about my personal philosophy, if you take care of your body in such a way that your skin is healthy, if you're eating good foods, if you're drinking enough water, if you are taking care of your nervous system, which controls healing, then your skin looks good on its own.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So you have less need for products to cover it up.
Hydration is such a big one. How, you know, women and men care about, you know, wrinkles. Mm-hmm. And many times that's a hydration issue more than anything else. That's a fatty acid ratio issue more than anything else. Mm-hmm. You see the omega-3s versus omega-6s thrown off in people many times because of their inflammation mm-hmm. within their body. And so it's really that inside out approach rather than outside in approach of maybe covering up some of the symptoms of what is actually happening on the inside.
Right, right. And skin is one of your biggest detoxifying organs. I mean, with your liver and then your lungs, skin is the big detoxifier. So if you're having skin issues, that is a symptom of an underlying issue of what's going on inside.
That's right.
So clean up what's going on inside your body, and then your skin will clear up too.
I hear you saying, start from the inside out.
Yes.
Start healing from the inside out.
Exactly.
That's great. Yeah. And I feel like that's a good place to land the plane there. We're talking cosmetics and we're talking about household cleaners. This is a good conversation. You can find out more at ewg.org. You can get more information, but I would encourage you go look at your products, find out what they are on the toxicity scale, and then work to get this stuff out of your household first and then out of your system second.